A godly person is not one who faces less temptations and battles as time passes. This individual is following one whose most intense struggle came in a garden near Jerusalem at the close of his life on earth, one whose pathway led to a cross. His life did not become easier. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and he has left us instructions to arm ourselves likewise with the same mind, for whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, we are reminded in 1 Peter 4:1. Realism causes us to expect trials and problems. As I mentioned on page 50 in your study book, a number of problems are caused because we in the Christian Cycle Club lack a basic understanding of the emotional facts of what it means to stay on the vehicle of victory as we follow after God. If we come to a standstill on a bicycle, we fall off. If we stop pedaling when we take to a hill, we're sure to find ourselves at the bottom shortly. So the godly man who is eager to pick up the velocity of his growth needs to be able to pedal past these problems that make others fall off. Let's consider some psychological problems which cause the fall by going through the list with which you match the scripture references. What do we mean by a wrong mindset? This means a pessimistic outlook and always looking on the negative side, undue emphasis on material things, inclination to pleasure instead of obedience, and responding on the basis of the immediate and not the ultimate, can create a wrong attitude of mind. Proverbs 15:15 promotes the glad heart, not the negative one, saying in truth that he who has gladness has a continual feast regardless of circumstances. The Apostle Paul has a worthwhile word for us on thinking on good things. You can read Paul's list in Philippians 4:8. Hours of wrong mental intake by inhaling useless garbage from soap operas, some magazines, dirty books, dirty stories, and daydreaming require hours of positive mental intake from the Scriptures for the purification of our thoughts. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, exhorts Proverbs 4:23. How do you change that cycle of a wrong mindset and get on with a proper one? Well, first, confess it as sin. Determine to do something about it. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you and take positive action to increase the intake of the Word of God in your life. What types of things are we prone to fear or be afraid of? Oh, the unknown, the uncertain, the future, and failure could begin the list, I suppose. What is the source of fear? Well, it's not God. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. In the Living Bible, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, For the Holy Spirit, God's gift, does not want you to be afraid of people, but to be wise and strong, and to love them, and enjoy being with them. But you say, I am afraid. The antidote for fear is in 1 John 4:18. In the Living Bible, it says, We need have no fear of someone who loves us perfectly. His perfect love for us eliminates all dread. In the King James it says, Perfect love casteth out fear, for fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. A girl who lived in a large city complex was afraid of the activities of the non-Christians around her. But out of love, the antidote for fear, she put on her suntan lotion, marched down to the pool, and put her time, listening ear, and God's kindness into their activities. Today, a new creation in Christ walks around that pool because one person was determined to show to an unbeliever God's love rather than her fear. What does it mean to be production-oriented? It means we can become more interested in measurable results than in operating by spiritual principles. Would a list of do's and don'ts qualify worldliness for us? No, not really. You see, worldliness is an attitude of heart. And how can we get rid of guilt? By realizing that God not only forgives, but forgets each sin we confess. Micah 7:18 and 19 in the Living Bible encourages, Where is another God like you, who pardons the sins of the survivors among his people? You cannot stay angry with your people, for you love to be merciful. Once again you will have compassion on us. You will tread our sins beneath your feet. You will throw them into the depths of the ocean. Someone has said, God throws our sin into the deepest sea and then puts up a sign that says, No fishing. Well, what would cause us to be disappointed with God? Perhaps feeling that God failed to answer a prayer the way we wanted it answered, or feeling he's dealt us a low blow because of the way he made us, or the environment that we grew up in, or the parents we were given. All these things which we cannot change, but which, if looked at wrongly, can bring discontentment. And why are we so often disappointed with others? Well, usually we expect more from them than they can give, or than they're willing to give. Or we get our eyes off of God and onto people and expect from them what only God can give to us or do for us. And why do we become disappointed with ourselves? Well, sometimes it's because we expect too much from ourselves. You know, all that God expects from us is failure, because that's all that we in the flesh are capable of. Anything good in us must come from the Lord Jesus. And yet we get so disappointed with ourselves because we don't do better. I recently got encouraged out of Job 15:15, when it says, "Behold, he putteth no trust in his saints." Now, we ought not to put more trust in ourselves than God puts in us. But another reason that we become disappointed with ourselves is because we do not accept ourselves the way we are. We don't like the way we're made, that is, our appearance, or we aren't happy with the abilities and skills that we do have, but rather concentrate on the abilities or skills that we don't have, the things that we can't do, and we're not happy perhaps with our parents or the environment we're living in now. We blame all these things for our unhappiness, but behind it all, the facts are we blame God. So really, our disappointment with ourselves and others goes back to our disappointment with God. When we are unhappy about our appearance or skills or parents, we set up a wall of bitterness and resentment between God and us, and between other people and ourselves. How can we change this? You might ask your teacher to share the four simple steps with you that are in the teacher's guide. Well, what is meant by playing to the wrong audience? John 5:44 indicates that it is getting our self-image feedback from men instead of God. A person's response to me may come across negatively because he or she has had a bad day or doesn't feel well. When I play to the right audience, that is Jesus, I always get the same positive response. The feedback from him is always, "Yes, you are worthwhile. You are my child. I love you. You are precious to me." Never do we get negative feedback from our master. Well, as you studied this chapter, what did you learn about bitterness and rebellion? Unfortunately, you cannot keep bitterness to yourself. It's like an infectious disease. It affects others. It affects what you do and what you think. How can we get rid of bitterness and rebellion? Well, often bitterness and rebellion are tied in with anger toward God and a lack of self-acceptance. The same four steps that your teacher may show you in changing the disappointment with yourself applies here. 1, confess it as sin, stating it specifically, whatever you're bitter about. 2, ask God's forgiveness. 3, thank him for the very cause of your bitterness and rebellion. And 4, determine to cooperate with him in developing the inner qualities you need to overcome these negative feelings. In conclusion, problems that push us off the track can disappear when we make our way through God's Word, moving with our renewed minds away from the fateful precariousness of falling off in this life.